Today, I've got this message. First of all, okay, after I had my procedure, my operation done, for about 4 or 5 days, I really felt like garbage. No matter what I told people, I really didn't feel good. And so the first day that I felt good, okay, I got in the shower. It wasn't the first time I took a shower, but the first day that I felt good and I got in the shower, I got out of the shower and I told Christy, I was like, that was the best shower ever. Not only do I feel good, but the Lord just gave me a word and was like, here's your message. Like, not that I didn't study and prepare, I did, but it was like, here's the message I want you to preach. And it was clear as a bell. I got out of the shower, got dressed, and started writing it all down. It was just like a download. But so I'm excited about it, and I hope that it speaks to your heart today. So I'm going to pray first of all before I even start speaking. And Lord, I just ask you right now, Lord, to help me, Lord, relay this message in the way that you relayed it to me. Lord, use me to speak truth. Use me to speak life into hopelessness. And Lord, I just pray that your word would penetrate hearts, not the words that I came up with, Lord, but as we read your scriptures, that they would change lives, that they would impact us for eternity, Lord, that they would change our lives, that we could relate to your word and that we would see it clearly. Give us revelation. Teach us, Holy Spirit, today, because you are the great teacher, and just ask you to move through me today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so how often have you heard people say, or maybe you've even said it yourself, that my life is so crazy that they could make a TV show? I want to see hands. How many, in all honesty, how many of you have said that? Jenna, you never thought that they could make a TV show out of your life? Come on, let me see it. Put your hand up. You never thought? Yes. All right. So I would say most people have thought that at least at one point in time. I've thought it many a times. I've thought it about my family when I lived at home. Like, that was like a circus. You could have totally made a TV show out of that. I think it about my family now. I think it about jobs I've had. I think about it with you guys. We could totally make a TV show out of this place. But you think about, why do we think of that? People have entertaining lives, first of all. Every one of us, we have an entertaining life. Even if your life is boring, it's entertaining to somebody, okay? I can assure you of that. But funny stuff happens. Sometimes it's things that you wouldn't believe. Like, how many of you have had that before? Like, you would not believe what happened to me. Even if I tell you, you're probably still not going to believe it. It's so crazy. Sometimes there's drama in people's lives, okay? These are the things that people find themselves in. They're suspenseful situations, and those are the keys to entertainment. Those are the keys to an entertaining movie or a TV show. Some people desire comedy, some desire drama, some want suspense, some want that, like, suspense even isn't even good enough. I want that it'll blow your mind ending that I never saw coming with a twist or a double twist, you know? And what entertains people is different depending on their taste or even their mood at a moment. But sometimes people even watch things that don't interest them at all. How many of you have done that? Every person has done that who has 120 channels, okay? I don't have 120 channels. I got like 10 or something. Actually, I'm getting ready to lose those. But if you've got 120 channels, you have totally watched something that you're not interested in. You flipped through for 2 hours, okay? Flipped through for 2 hours and said there's nothing on. How many of you have done that? Probably most of us, at some point, there's nothing on, but you watched something, or you watched a lot of parts of something. And I've caught myself watching a kid's movie before. Sometimes Easton will be at our house, and Christy will put on some, like, I don't even know what kind of cartoon off of Netflix, and I find myself, like, interested in it. Like, I would have never picked it out for myself, but I watch it. And so we have to realize that people watch things that they're not even interested in. And so no matter how bad you think a show is, there's somebody that watches it. Somebody watches it. Somebody, in fact, likes it. Somebody connects with it. Somebody is captivated by it and affected by it. And there's something else that people watch. Us. They watch our lives. Whether you're a believer, unbeliever, it doesn't matter. People watch you. I told Christy if they could only pay me to watch people, I love to just watch people. I'm one of those people, I could sit on a bench at Walmart for like 10 hours. I like to just watch people. I find it interesting. But no matter how bad a show is, people watch it. No matter how bad or good people's lives are, somebody watches it. Somebody watches you. Somebody connects with you. Somebody's affected by you. Somebody may be entertained by you. It's your life. Your life is already like a TV show. Okay? You may not be getting paid for it. You know, you may not be getting royalties from the people that are watching it. But you make that joke about, I wish they could make a TV show out of my life, without the realization that it already is. Our lives already is. You already have an audience. And not only do you have an audience, but you may have an audience that likes you, that roots for you. You may also have an audience that doesn't like you, that just watches for the drama. They want to see you fall apart. Sometimes they don't even know why they're watching you, just because they have nothing better to do. It's even more easy with Facebook, okay? I know stuff about people that I really don't want to know. And I don't even really get on there that often. But you find yourself looking at stuff and you're like, I can't believe they're going through that. But we all have eyes on us. People see more than we know. And what they see may have a greater impact on their life than what we will ever know. So today I want to talk about this, and I titled this Light, Camera, Action. Okay? It's light for a reason. There's just one light, and that's Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about this movie or this TV show that is your life. And first, if you look at the light, okay? I'm going to talk about how this looks on a TV set, TV show, and the set, the platform. And then I'm also going to talk about how it looks in our lives as Christians. So first, on a set, there's lights. There's many lights. But what are they there for? They're there in a production for a couple of reasons. And you'll see it's the same way with the light of Christ. But the first reason is the light allows you to see. The light allows you to see. So we're going to pretend that you're an actor. You're an actor in the TV show. And so the light allows you to see. It illuminates your surroundings so that you're not in darkness. And if you're going to have a successful role, you really have to see what you're doing. You have to see what's around. You have to be able to see and read the script, probably in the early days before it's memorized. You have to see where you're supposed to go. You have to see the reactions of the director, right? If he's angry because you messed up, or if he's like, well done, good job, you couldn't do it any better. So how could you, as a performer, as an actor, be successful if you can't see where you're going or what you're doing? And I would present to you today, as a Christian, we're in the exact same boat. How can you, as a Christian, do what the Lord wants you to do if you can't see where you're going? If there's no light shining, this isn't light shining upon you so that people can see you yet. It's light shining so you can see what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go. Because there's a lot of people walking around today that they claim to know Christ, but really they're stumbling around in the darkness, trying to play the part because they can't see. In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It starts with Jesus, and only then can you walk in the light. Now, the key to this verse right here, well, the key is that he's the light, but the second part of this verse is that Jesus is saying, when you walk after him, you have the light. It says it. He who follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you have the light of life, then you can see what life really is. He illuminates your path. He shows you where to go. And it says that you have to walk after him. It's the most important part. You can see where you're supposed to go because things are illuminated. The stage is illuminated. You can see the props, but you can also see the script. You can't even see the script. You can't even see what he's got laid out for you, what he wants you to do. You can't see the word if you're in the dark. Right, Cheryl? Tuesday nights, sometimes it's too dark and she can't see the word. She gets out her phone, flashlight, okay? But the light of Christ lets us see what our surroundings are. It lets us see our path. And when we're in that place, there's no wandering around in the dark, trying to act out our part in confusion. There's no trying to guess where the couch is so you don't run into it in the dark. And many people have done that for a very long time, wandered around in the dark. But here's the thing, they've done it for so long that they're comfortable, that they know their way around in the dark. How many of you can do that? How many of you can wander around your house in the dark, you know where everything's at, okay? And you've done it for so long, you're so comfortable, you don't even need to turn on a light. That's how a lot of Christians are today. They've walked and faked their way around in the darkness. They've bumped into enough stuff that it's like, well, I know not to go over there because that's just, I'll run into something. And they just kind of wander around. They're not even wandering like this anymore. They're just cruising around in the dark, faking it because they've done it for so long. They're comfortable there. So some people are still in the darkness, but here's the deal. If you have your part memorized, it doesn't mean you're reading the right script. It doesn't mean just because you know what you're wanting to do, maybe the director has made a change to the script and you don't even know it. You can't just memorize it and fake your way around in the kingdom of God. And Nehemiah said, referring to the account in Exodus, he said in Nehemiah 9:12, "Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel." Why did God give them fire at night? To see, to show them the road that they should travel, to put light on the road that they're supposed to travel. It wasn't because they might be afraid, because they can't see. It wasn't a night light, okay? It was for a specific purpose so that they could see the road that they were to travel. So they weren't wandering around in the dark, playing the part. They had the light. It showed them where they were to go. So we have this light. It shines so that we can see our surroundings. But the second reason that light is shining on a stage, on a platform, in a production, is it allows you to be seen. So the light allows you to see, but then it also allows you to be seen. And you think about in a production, if there's not ample light, okay, if you have just one little light and it's not bright enough, it's not pointed in the right direction on a scene, on a TV set, the viewers can't see what's happening. And how many of you have watched probably a YouTube video or something online that had terrible lighting? Like you couldn't tell if that's a kid or a dog, like type of video. They're terrible. I've seen some of those. I'm like, I don't know if that's funny or not. There's not enough light. I can't see. If you've seen a video like that, you know that you spend so much time, you're like trying to figure out what in the world that even is, that you miss the whole point. You can't even see. The light illuminates you so that others can see what you are doing. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus does great works in our lives because, well, first of all, just because he loves us. And second of all, because he wants other people to see. He wants them to see. And when we represent Christ, we are the light. That's Christians today. Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne in power, in victory. Amen. So his light is shining through us. It's shining on us so people can see. And A follower of Christ doesn't need to hide the light, okay? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand. If you're really bold and you don't care, you can. But how many of you have tried to hide the light from people before? I'll put mine up. I've done it. I've tried to hide the light. But here's the deal with the light. What's the purpose of light? To see. It illuminates the darkness. Light drives out darkness. Darkness is exposed by light. It's cast out. Mark 4:22 says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." When the light of Christ is put upon us so people can see us, our life gets exposed. I know it's another one of those things that's like wonderful but terrifying at the same time. It's good that your life is exposed. Sometimes it can be bad. But why is our life exposed? Why does he do that? Going back to Mark 5:16, he says, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Ah, the good works. Everybody loves good works, right? Everybody loves good works. Let everybody see how great I am. Let everybody see what I do, how good of a person I am. Let everyone see the things, not only that I do for others, because I do great things for others, but I also do great things for God. No, that's not the point. The point is, we have a mindset that is like that, and it's self-seeking. And maybe you do, maybe you don't right now. But when we have a mindset like that, it's self-seeking, it's self-serving, self-exalting. But the light is to shine so that others can see your good works to glorify God. We point them back to Christ. Every single thing that we do, everything we do good in our lives, should point people back to Christ. Somebody says, "Hey, you know, you're a really good person. You're so thoughtful. You help others. You're so joyful." All these things. The perfect response is not, "Thanks," or, "Yeah, I know." You know, okay. Those aren't the right responses. The right response should be, "Praise Jesus. It's because of him, what he's done in my life. Like, you wouldn't have wanted to meet me 10 years ago, okay? Or maybe you would have, but point is, it should be pointing them back to Christ. It's because of him. He changed me, and praise him that he's made me who I am today. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." See, our motives are always revealed. Always. We can hide them for a time, but our motives are always revealed. And the light will be on us as believers, and it's up to us to point them to Christ. Okay, when that light's on us and we're being exposed, we have two choices. We point them to us or point them to him. Okay, that's the choices we have. So we need to point them to Christ because he's the director. Christ is the director. He's the one who gave us this marvelous part to play. Without him, you wouldn't have a part to play. He's the one that guides you where to go and when, what to say, how to do it. And we point them to him because we want him glorified. And so once the light is set, it's time for the camera, okay? Light, camera. Once the light is right, how many of you know that for one particular scene, they don't go around adjusting the light over and over? When they get it perfect, they're like, it's good to go, okay? And that's the light of Christ in us. When Christ's light is perfect, and when his light is on us, like, it's go time, okay? It's time for the camera. Now, when the camera is rolling, you think about a scene, a production site. Once the camera is rolling, where is everybody looking? Everybody's looking at the scene. Everybody's looking at the actors. When people are setting up the lighting, half the people in the room probably are not paying attention. But once the camera is rolling, it's like everybody's looking up there to see what needs to change, what's fake, what's real, what is not right. And when people look at you, they're going to decide or try to make the decision if you're genuine or if you're not. We put that light on us and people can see. They're trying to figure out, are they just playing the part or are they becoming the part? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. We're to be imitators of God. Now, I want to clear something up about imitators. An imitator and an imitation does not mean something that looks like the real thing, but it's fake. And I'll give you an example. How many of you agree with me and hate imitation bacon bits? I hate them. They should just call them something else. Okay? They're imitation bacon bits. They're not real. They don't even resemble bacon. They don't smell like bacon. They don't taste like bacon. They don't look like bacon. And everybody can tell from a mile away that is not bacon. Okay? I despise imitation bacon bits. I realize they're cheaper. And you may like them, but they're not bacon. Okay? I'm telling you, they're just not bacon. You could hog tie me, blindfold me, stuff something up my nose, and I could still tell you that they're fake bacon. Okay? They're not real. I don't like them. And that's how a lot of Christians are. A lot of Christians are fake bacon bits. People can tell from a mile away. You're trying to look like you're perfect. You're trying to look like you've got it all together, and you don't have any idea that we can tell. We can smell that you're not real. We can smell. We can see it. You're not real. You're fake bacon bits. And this is not where we want to be, because we are to imitate God. When we imitate God, people shouldn't be able to tell from a mile away that you're an imposter, that you're a fake. Now, the key to that is realizing what it means to be an imitator of God. It doesn't mean we're to be nothing like God but act like we are God or pretend that we're in the place of God. It simply means to be a follower of God. A follower of God. And when you follow someone, you become like them. It's not you're pretending to be like them. You become like them. You behave like them, think like them, speak like them. You think about a child, a son and a father. Oftentimes, they act like their dad. They want to do things that daddy does. They want to talk like daddy talks. They want to dress like daddy dresses. You see that all through childhood. You see that with daughters and mothers. You see that. You know why? Because that's who they're following. As dad's walking out to the garage to work on something, the son's behind him, and he wants to climb the ladder. He wants to run the drill. He wants to do all that stuff. As he follows him, he becomes like him. That's what we're to do. As we follow Christ, we're to become like him. That's being an imitator of Christ. It's not pretending to be a Christian. It's following him and becoming more like him. We see in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 3 through 7, says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Why do I mention that? Because that is what an imitator, worldly imitator of God, does. When we're a Christian, we can't be talking the Christian talk but sleeping with somebody that we're not married to. We can't be living impure, having greedy desire. Those are evidence of darkness. They're not evidence of light. They're not evidence of behavior that's fitting for a saint. Now, I do want to clarify, there's a difference between sinning and living in sin, okay? Everybody messes up, everybody sins, and this verse is not saying that if you mess up, that there's no place for you in the kingdom of God. What it's saying is if you live in sin, you continue to do that, you choose to make those choices, then there's no places for you in the kingdom of God. A born-again believer does not continue to do the same sins over and over and over with no repentance, no confession to Christ, no confession, no prayer, okay? This is saying if you choose to walk in these things, that you will be exposed in the light. You will be exposed. And when the camera's on you, other people are looking. Other people are watching. And then it says, don't let people deceive you. Let no one convince you that these are things okay because you said a prayer one time. Let no one convince you that these things are okay because you got baptized one time. Or maybe you pray in the Spirit or any other reason. These things lead to the wrath of God. That's what the word says. If someone tells you otherwise, it says, get away from them. And I added this part of my explanation, because they're like their father, the devil, because they're liars. Okay? If someone tells you those things are okay, get away from them. Those are not the kind of people you need influencing your life. And then, starting in verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So this is saying, don't do these things. Don't live in these things. Instead, if you've been born again, you're a child of God. You walk in the light. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So it's saying you don't need to continue in those sins. You don't need to go back to those things. You don't need to be acceptable and say they're okay, because if you're a light, if you're a child of God, the light will shine upon you and you can see what you're doing. And now that you're in the camera stage, find out what's acceptable to God and do that. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but expose them, kick them out of your life, be an example to others. Not hypocrites, but examples. That's what we're called to do. And when the camera is on us, all eyes are on us, and people will critique us. They absolutely will. It's not they might critique us. People will critique us. And again, I don't want anybody to think that you have to be perfect. It ought to be your goal. But it doesn't mean that you have to live perfect. But you have to be an example. The people that like you and want to see you do well, they'll watch the show. They'll cheer you on. They'll be joyful and happy for you. They'll rejoice when you rejoice. They'll cry when you are sad. And more importantly, they'll look to you to learn more about him. Philippians 3:17 says, join together in following my example. This is Paul. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. He's telling even believers, keep your eyes on the people that live as we do, because they're an example for you. The ultimate example is Christ. We most certainly follow him, but also look at other believers. They're supposed to be an example. Now, another kind of person are those who are waiting for you to fail. Those who are watching the show to see the drama, those who are watching the show to see you mess up, they will be waiting. They will absolutely be waiting. They're right around the corner. They probably are stalking you outside your house, just waiting for you to mess up so they can point it out. These people will be ready to tear you down and expose you as a fraud or a hypocrite, because it's the only reason that they're watching. It's absolutely the only reason they're watching. Titus 2, verses 7 through 8 says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. That's what we're supposed to do. Be a person who walks in integrity. Let those people watch the show that is your life waiting for you to fail. Let them watch it. And then make them feel ashamed. Not because you went out and blasted them on Facebook and told them how wrong they were and that they don't know the whole story. That's not what it says. It doesn't say go and defend yourself. It says to be someone who has a pattern of good works, showing integrity, reverence, putting God first, revering God, honoring God in our lives, incorruptibility, sound speech that can't be condemned, not mouthing things that are going to come back and bite us. If you do those things, they'll be ashamed because they won't have anything evil to say. Let them watch. The third type of person that will be watching is those people that they have no vested interest in your life. These are the people that they've flipped through the channels. They're just watching people, and they're like, there's nothing good on. They don't really have anything good to say for you or against you. They may have just stumbled upon your show. They watch you from a distance, and maybe they're just soaking up what they see. And what you need to hope that they see is the love of Christ in you. Okay, these are the people that they're not looking to get after you. They're not even for you. They're just watching. Those are the kind of people that you want to captivate them with the love of Christ that you display each and every day, showing them that darkness has been expelled by the light. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son and of His love. That's where He's put us, out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus and His love. And so to all these people in the action stage, we're to be examples of Christ. You must let that light that shines on you bring Him glory. When the camera's on, we're to make Him famous. We're to make Jesus known in all the world. And then finally, after the light and the camera, it's time for action. And I realize action is going to kind of tie to camera, but camera tied into light. Action, now when you're on a stage, when you're on a set, action is when, like, bam, it's go time. And you are called to do what the script says. Like when it's action time, there's no messing around. There's no joking, okay? It's time to obey the script. It's time to do what the script says. It's obedience time when it's action time. And when the light's on you and the camera's rolling, people are watching. Some people are even DVRing it in their head for later playback. They're going to remember what you did, remember what you said. All we have to do is be obedient to the script. It sounds easier said than done. We put pressure on ourselves. It's like, this isn't possible. I can't, there's no way I can continue to do this. But if you consider an actor, someone who plays a part in a movie, they're playing another real person. So let's see, who can I pick? I'll choose Craig. Craig, who would play you in a movie? Like, what actor would be Craig Jackman? Hugh Jackman, that's okay. All right, Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, Michigan fan. I should have known it. Should have picked that myself. Okay, so Hugh Jackman is going to play Craig Jackman in a movie. Now, do you know Hugh Jackman on a personal level? Okay, so he doesn't probably know anything about you unless he's a real big fan of, you know, Fords or something, and he lives in Effingham, but he doesn't. Okay, so Hugh Jackman knows nothing about Craig, but he's going to play him in a movie. What do you think Hugh Jackman's going to do besides read the script? He's going to find out everything he can do, or everything he can find out about Craig. He's going to want to know. He's going to probably interview people right here in this very room, starting with Cheryl, and be like, tell me about Craig. Tell me, like, you know, what does he say? What does he do? What kind of clothes does he wear? I need to kind of make sure that when I portray him in this movie, that I actually look like Craig, that it's believable that I'm Craig.
And Hugh is going to get to know Craig. He's probably going to read up on him, anything he can find. He's going to watch if there's any kind of video footage of Craig. If, you know, Cheryl has some home videos, let me see those. I need to see kind of like even his mannerisms, how he walks. I need to see kind of how he carries himself. He's going to want to know all those things so he can be the best Craig that he can be in that movie. He's probably not going to improv and just make it up as he goes, because he doesn't want people to think that he stinks or that Craig stinks, you know, that he's no good. And how many of you have ever watched a movie where it was they were portraying another person? You're like, that is not even remotely believable. Like, that person doesn't look like that person. He doesn't act like him, nothing. They don't want that, okay? We're talking about Hugh Jackman. He's a big deal, okay? He's Wolverine. As he portrays Craig, he's going to want to know Craig, know what he's supposed to do, how he's supposed to do it, to be the best Craig that he can be, to where when people watch it, they don't think, there's Hugh Jackman. No, they want him to think, that's Craig Jackman. That's him. Like, that's, he nailed it. Okay? So Matthew 22:29 says, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. So here's the lesson. In our lives, as Christians, we're portraying the part of Christ, okay? Because we're imitators of him. We're trying to be more like him. Why are we not more like him? Because we don't know the scriptures. Don't let people think you stink, and don't let them think that Jesus stinks, because you don't know the scriptures and you're trying to act like him. Because they're going to look at you and be like, one of two things. Either that guy is a lousy actor, or the person he's portraying is lousy. And that's what we do as Christians when we go around faking it. When it's action time and we're supposed to obey the script, we've not done our homework, okay? We've not read the Word of God. We've not been taught the Word of God. We just wing it. We improv. And people think we stink, and they think Jesus stinks. That's really what they think. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. We are to study the script and then stick to the script. We're supposed to study the model, Jesus. Okay, well, what did Jesus do? How did he carry himself? Now, of course, we don't have video footage, okay, of Christ. But thank God we have something so much greater, the Holy Spirit, okay, that he can teach us. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slave to obey, that you are one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? So it's saying when it's time for the script, okay, it's time to obey during the action time. Are you ready to obey the script? Because every single given moment, we're either being obedient or disobedient to the will of God. Every thought that we have, every action we take, we're either obeying his will or we're obeying our will, which would be disobeying his, unless your will is his will, which it should be, but it's not if you don't study the script. And it says disobedience is sin, and sin leads to death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But even better, obedience leads to righteousness. And righteousness is another word that it's so terrifying, righteousness. I could never be righteous. Sure you can. Righteousness is a condition that's acceptable to God. You want to know how you be acceptable to God? You stick to the script. You follow Christ. John 8:51 says, most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, they shall never see death. If you keep his word, his commandments, love God, love people, it's all in there. Everything's in there. If you do that and you're obedient, you have eternal life. You never see death. Even physical death can't overpower this kind of life. It can't. We talked about that on Saturday morning in men's group. To live as Christ, to die as gain. We were like, me and Dave were talking about, like, we're planning our funerals.
I'm not having a funeral, by the way. So if any of you are still around then, I'm not having one. We're having a church service, celebration, glory to God. I'm not going to be here, okay? I'm not going to be here for it. You guys can be here, but I want glory to God, because there ain't no reason, there would be no reason to be sad for me, because I'm going to be happy. I'd be like Smith Wigglesworth's wife. He raised her from the dead. Was it three times? Does anybody remember? She wasn't very happy with him. Okay, that's probably how I would be. Like, let me go. All right, so even physical death cannot overpower that kind of life. John 7:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jason, if you guys would come. So, what I want everybody to do is consider your life. Every single person. I'm going to do it again as well. Every person, consider your life. The TV show that is your life. Not those around you. Your own show. Not your family's show. Your own show. All right? The first question is there light? Is there the light of Christ in my life? And for some people, the answer is no. If the answer is no, that's okay. Today's the day that you can make a change. Remember, it's not about faking. It's not about being imitation bacon bits today. This is the real deal. Is there light in your life? Yes or no? Because if there's not, you can't see the path that you're supposed to take. If you've been stumbling around in the darkness, bumping into things, or you faked it so long that you don't even bump into stuff, you just make your way through the darkness. Today is the day to know the right path to follow. Today's the day that you need illumination in your life so that you can see where you're going first and foremost, and then so other people can see you. People can see the way that God has worked in your life and give glory to Him. For those that already have the light, this is a time to think, are you in the camera stage? Okay? Are you in this stage where the camera's on you, all eyes are on you? And if you are, then here's the question. Who are you entertaining? That's a real question. Who are you entertaining? Are you putting on a show for other believers, acting the part, doing what they expect to see? Are you faking it? Are you putting on a show for unbelievers to make them think that you're better than you are, or that you're better than them, which even if you're saved, you're still not better than them? What do people see when they see you? Do they see a hypocrite? Do they see things that you post on Facebook? One minute you post about Jesus, and the next minute you post tearing somebody down, or even more subtle, you post something that maybe you're not even going to comment on again, but you know it's going to stir up junk. Or are you entertaining the one that matters? Are you entertaining Christ? Is He looking down on your life and He's like, well done, good and faithful servant. I am pleased with you. If we live to please Him and not to please men, not to please self, then you're in the action stage. And now, if you're in the action stage, it's like, okay, now who am I portraying? Am I portraying Him in the right light? Am I portraying a God, one I've made up in my head, or one this world has made up? Or am I portraying the God? Am I portraying Jesus? Am I showing the love of Christ? Are you studying His word and taking on the role of a born-again believer that displays the fruit of the Spirit? Here's your fruit of the Spirit test. Jason did an exhortation on this years ago, and it was awesome. If we still have it recorded, I'd try to find it. But are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Are we displaying those things? Because if it's action time, you better be. You need to be. And then the final question is, who is getting the glory? In most movies, the actor gets the glory. You realize that? In most movies, the actor gets the glory. There's some exceptions. There's some movies that are, you know, so-and-so, Steven Spielberg, or somebody produced it, and so people will watch it for that. But usually the actor gets the glory. So are you getting the glory as the actor in this show, or are you giving glory to the writer and the director? Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Is that who's getting the glory for your show, or is it you? It's when it's time to remember that you're only playing a part. You're only playing a part in a story that he wrote. You realize that? Like, you're so privileged to play this part, this life that he's given you in his story. It's not about you. It's about him. And 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." He always leads us in triumph in Christ. So today I want to open these altars. And if any of that spoke to your heart, whatever phase you're in, if you're in the light, the camera, the action phase in your life, or if you've failed to give glory to God and you've taken all of it for yourself and look at my hard work and everything that I do, I want you to come down for prayer. Myself and the elders will be down here to pray for you guys. I want you to come, okay? Come, tell us what your prayer request is so that we can live this life, this story that God has given us, to give him glory, to lift his name on high, to make him famous. We want his name, his name at the top, to be the biggest name, right? When they see the poster board that is Ben's life, the first thing it should say at the top is Jesus. His name should be bigger than the title, Ben's life, Jesus, okay? Lena's life, Jesus. That's the way that it ought to be. So if it's anything but that, I want you to come down and receive prayer. So we'll open right now and come as you're ready.